it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Jets fans, and welcome back to Game Over Winnipeg. We do the whole preamble. My name is Liz. Whatever. The Winnipeg Jets are the first place team in the NHL right now after a 3-1 win over the Anaheim Ducks tonight, and I am fired up. I am joined by Kishore today. We're going to talk a little bit about this win. Kishore, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. That was not the greatest couple of back-to-back games I've ever seen in my life, but a win is a win, and there's nothing more Winnipeg Jets hockey than giving up one goal. You give up less than three goals, that's Winnipeg Jets hockey, baby.
Yeah, record-setting Winnipeg Jets hockey. It's been how long since we're now tied with, like, the – my dad was just telling me this, the 05 Minnesota Wild since the late 60s and you know, the amount of games you've given up so few goals. And stats like that and the now going, 11, 12 games without – not giving up a point, all these kinds of things. Like, this is just straight up good Winnipeg Jets hockey team that we're seeing right now. For those of you who are watching live right now, let's get excited. I am so fired up. I'm so excited that Kishore is here. I'm also excited, not that he's wearing his Bills merch to troll me on this. For those of you who are unaware, I'm a massive Miami Dolphins fan, and Kishore doesn't care about the Buffalo Bills. He's just here doing this to spite me, right? Is that...
First of all, born in Buffalo... Like, you don't just randomly buy Buffalo Bills gear to, like, prove a point. You're either born a Buffalo Bills fan or you learn to die a hero being a Buffalo Bills fan. That's the only way you want to go. But I want to shout out what Julian's saying in the chat. Can we let Dangle know that the Jets bandwagon is taking applications? Because I think it's about time.
Oh, it's time to hop on for everybody. Like, the vibes have never been better. I want to jump into all these, you know, great things that you have to share about the vibes and what you experienced last night when you were present at the game. Kishore and I both have some fun, just kind of in-person hockey tidbits to share. As those of you can tell, I'm not looking my finest. I have an interesting background. I decided about 10 hours ago to jump in a car with my parents and drive 7 hours to come watch history be made tomorrow at the XL Energy Center. And no, I'm not talking about Ryan Hartman getting destroyed by Jets. I'm talking about going to see the PWHL Minnesota home opener. So I am now in Minneapolis right now, just kind of on a whim, which I'm super excited about. So kind of last minute scrambled together to do this game over. I have headphones, not a real mic. Hopefully the audio is not too bad, but I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you. The games have looked just electric, the crowds. Just seeing, like, the women having a grand old time, like, and the interviews before periods. Like, the men should be taking some lessons. Like, seeing Sarah Nurse in between periods today, be like, we got to go get one, girls. And just, like went out hammered one. Like, so much personality. So excited. Also, let's give it up as the resident American Winnipeg Jets fan. Let's give it up to your gold medal winning World Juniors team. Future captain of the Winnipeg Jets, Rutger McGroarty, came through again with an empty netter to seal it. good work, boys.
Another contributor to just the immaculate vibes around the Winnipeg Jets right now. What can I say, man? Like, just unbelievable. And so happy for him. Like, the posts, the everything, how excited he was, some of the comments he made in his interviews. Like, it's just, I am so
that thrilled. Hit, too.
Oh,
that hit in the final where he just demolished the Swedish player in the next week.
And in a great way, didn't, you know, no head contact, nothing like that. Just a great hit to sort of seal the deal in that game. Everyone's in the chat. Everyone's excited. We're all excited because just things are great right now. Guys are on a dad's trip. Shout out to Nate Schmidt's dad. Nate Schmidt also, but specifically Nate Schmidt's dad. We've got lots going on. But Kishore, before we really get into the specifics of this game, you were at the game last night when the Winnipeg Jets tied or beat whatever their franchise record with points consecutive games. You got to witness that game in person.
We exercised our nemesis, the San Jose Sharks, with a win last night. I have to say, anytime you see a story in the press being like Winnipeg Jets attendance, you should no longer feel bad, because I went to a Sharks game and saw what an attendance problem looks like in person. It was like scary empty. It was like, I think they reported like 10K attendance. It might have been six. It was super empty. That being said, I had seats with my son and my nephews, like right below the dad's group, the mentors group. They had like a box right above us, and they were like hooting and hollering all game. My favorite thing, first of all, if you're not following Chuck Hellebuck on Twitter, what are you doing? He is the best. He has an amazing YouTube channel where he talks about 3D printing and all sorts of like prop making and stuff. He's like my hero. You should subscribe, like, comment, subscribe on Chuck Hellebuck's channel. When Connor Hellebuck got the number one star last night, Chuck Hellebuck's out there like hooting and hollering. It was really awesome. That was a sad game to watch because the crowd was really dead most of the night. But the Jets exercised their demons. They gave up one goal. I got to watch the best goalie in the world up close and personal. It was really a fun time. And then they had this back-to-back against the second worst team in the league.
Yeah, and a couple of things going into this game, like you said, is on the back-to-back, and I was calculating, I think where we're at right now, this is their sixth game in 9 days, you know, with the back-to-back against Minnesota and another back-to-back here, playing against weaker teams, which over the last little stretch have been their kryptonite, as we know, with the San Jose Sharks, Montreal Canadiens, Chicago Blackhawks, and all that goodness. And also, what happened last time the Winnipeg Jets played the Anaheim Ducks, they lost one of their best players due to a play that could have been avoided. Ryan Strome was a game-time decision and didn't end up playing in tonight's game. I don't want to get into anything, you know, relating to that, whatever, because I don't think Ryan Strome is a bad guy. Didn't like the play, and I think it warranted some form of discipline and all that good stuff, whatever. He got ejected from that game, and I'm fine with that. But I'm just so tired of talking about the extracurriculars surrounding, you know, payback and getting back at players and all these kinds of things because of this whole Minnesota Wild discourse that I'm honestly glad nothing happened tonight and we just got to watch a hockey game. What were your thoughts on this hockey game? You know, not the greatest or most astounding hockey game we've ever seen, but, you know, it also wasn't some, you know, hoo-ha measuring contest with guys just throwing each other on the ice and stuff like that. So what did you think of this one?
I was expecting a gong show, you know, until learning that Strome was going to be scratched. So I was pleasantly surprised. Let's be honest, this team looked like they were on a back-to-back. They looked tired, but they gutted out a win. They had awesome goaltending again. I don't think we can say, we haven't said enough about how good Brassois has been in the last month, kind of keeping up the momentum from the best goalie in the world. And I guess I have like a few takeaways from tonight. I am so happy for Nate Schmidt is like my number one takeaway. I think he's been playing super well the last five games. I think he's actually been one of the bright spots on the power play, of which there has been very few, except that one goal last night, where he's just done his job on the power play too, and he's moved the puck around. He's been good on zone exits. He's worked really well with Dylan Sandberg. I think Sandberg has helped elevate Schmidt and free him up. And seeing Schmidt like fill that gap tonight, and Sandberg kind of, you know, get hit him with a pass and then just bury one. First game in 45 for Nate Schmidt. So happy for him because he has been scratched. He's been all the talk about he's going to come out of the lineup when Ville is back and healthy. And he's been playing really good hockey in the midst of that. So I would say that's my number one. I'm happy for Nate Schmidt.
Absolutely.
First and foremost.
And I think with that, you're right. The last couple games have been, you know, a lot stronger. And I must give credit where it's due as well. The pass from Mark Scheifele on that was so perfect. I was standing up and cheering before he even released the shot. I was like, that was perfect. Like, that's going in 100%. But you mentioned the VH word. And with the way the second pairing has been playing, especially with the first line, and we'll get into, I'm sure, all those other players and stuff like that. And like you said, the way that that third pairing has been playing, and also the fact that Josh and DeMello are Josh and DeMello. I, president, owner, and all of the above of the Ville Heinola fan club, am unsure if this player has a spot in this lineup at this time. I don't think I would be pleased to see any of these six players leave the lineup for my favorite hockey player in the world. That's how good the Winnipeg Jets defense are lately. And it's just, it's crazy.
They haven't given up. They gave up three goals once in the month of December. It's January. It is like the end of the first week of January. They've given up three goals once, almost since American Thanksgiving. Like, you can't change anything. I would be open to seeing Ville if they do like a vet rest kind of thing. If Dylan gets banged up, if Schmidt gets banged up, drawing in for something like that on a back-to-back, we have another, you know, like the next back-to-back, doing something like that might make sense, but really don't mess with what's not broken. There is concerning signs, I think, ahead for Winnipeg with like some of the underlying stuff. It's starting to move in the wrong direction. It's not, they're still playing awesome. They're still driving play at 5-on-5, but we're not really seeing the high danger chances I think we want to see long term. They've been slowly dwindling, and we've been relying a lot on finishing talent. So there's probably tweaks and changes we'll want to see longer term, but for now, you can't mess with a single thing.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's a luxury that we have not had over the last few years. So it's very pleasing to the eye. But yesterday I had Elliot from the Level Flight podcast on. We talked a little bit about Jets Sharks. And what we talked a little bit about, for those of you who were there yesterday, might recall, we talked about a little bit how the way the Jets are kind of playing right now is we haven't seen all four of their lines at their very best all at the same time. And that's not something that's unique to the Winnipeg Jets. You know, that's kind of how hockey and life works, is that you're never going to have all your players at 100% all at once. But I thought tonight we saw flashes of that first line looking a little bit better. What did you think of their game tonight and kind of how they were able to control some of the parts of the game that they played?
So I think people here probably know I'm not the biggest like Kevin Sawyer honk, but what he called out during the game about Ehlers' defensive prowess, like on that one shift where Ehlers had a couple blocks, a good defensive play, and was leading transition, all of a sudden they were like getting rush chances coming out because they were playing good defensively. Rush chances out allowed them to enter the zone with speed. And then we saw like the full on cycling effect. And when they start cycling like that, they're really dangerous. I still think Mark Scheifele is in a little bit of a rut, and I'd like to see him shoot the puck just a little bit more than he's doing. But that line is starting to come back. There is no way they can get back to the level of heater they were on a couple weeks ago. But whoo, they are, when they get established in the zone and they get circling around, they are dangerous, especially like Vilardi down low is so good with his hands. And I'm sort of in awe. The only thing that they need to do is they just need to like enter with the zone with a little momentum to get that cycle going that they have.
Yeah, 100%. And I think further to that a little bit about the specifics of the team they were playing tonight. This is a different Anaheim Ducks team than we saw last time the Jets played them, with a couple of different pieces coming back in the lineup. You know, to me, players like Drysdale and Mintikov were guys who I noticed a lot tonight, and it's always nice to notice young guys. And even at the end of the game, when you know a point or a tie or whatever was still within reach for Anaheim, and they were kind of pulling out all the stops, who was at the top of that, you know, blue line for them was Jamie Drysdale and some of their younger pieces. Mason McTavish obviously potted their only goal tonight. Some scary stuff coming up the pipe from the Anaheim Ducks, especially on the back end. But some of their younger players, I think, you know, looked good tonight. But at the end of the day, it is the Anaheim Ducks, right? And they collapse a little bit more. I found that they weren't as aggressive on their own blue line. And I wanted the Jets to capitalize on that a little bit more when they were entering the zone, like you said, and coming in with a little bit more strength. And do you think that has anything to do with the competition? Do you think that they were, you know, like, would you think that they would attack a little bit more against a team like this? Or do you think they just kind of stick to their game regardless of the opponent?
It felt like a back-to-back game. I'll be honest. Like, they felt tired. And they're going to just play their like slightly low event game and rely on some of their finishing. I have to say Minchikov looks like super special to me. He looks just dangerous on all sorts of plays. He was great offensively. He's physical. I really like that kid. Zegras, on the other hand, what happened, my man? He looks lost out there. But going back to your point, like it is one of those things where I was so excited to see Perfetti get a goal, not just because of all the discourse around him today, but that line has been kind of stuck in neutral for a little bit. And as well as Domestikov continues to play, and he was the key on that power play goal, no doubt. He makes that quick decision to shoot it out of Perfetti, and Perfetti buries it. By the way, Gibson did not play that well. He like really did not push over. He did not anticipate that. Perfetti was standing there for a little while and Gibson didn't play that well, but I hope they like Domestikov, Perfetti can continue to like build. Really want to see KFC on that line when he comes back in a few weeks, yeah, to really start to like unlock, because Iofalo is like the one piece that feels like really out of place on this team right now. And I think that will take a lot of pressure off the Lowry line, a lot of pressure off the Scheifele line to just be world beaters every night.
Yeah, 100%. And I think a lot of people kind of in the chat are in agreement with us on this. I see we have Waiters, we have Jack, we have Jeff, we have Julian, a lot of our regulars are in here. Everyone who's live in the chat, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you guys coming to celebrate the victory of being, you know, number one of 32 for this team and some of the good pieces that are really contributing to that. But I always, and tonight is an excellent reminder of that because of the fact that, you know, last time we played Anaheim, we know what happened. This team is missing a top five player for them right now. A player that, you know, a lot of people would consider to be their best player. I and the Anaheim Ducks broadcast team would not agree with that, but, you know, top five, you know, consensus player, right? So it'll be interesting. I see some people in the chat. There's one from Jack here says if the Jets pick up Konechny in the lineup, playoffs would be very interesting. And that's always the question too, with, you know, the All-Star break coming up. We see that we have the nominations that are already out and people can vote. You know, the end of the season is coming up quick. We're almost at the halfway mark and all these kinds of things with trades coming in. What do you think is going to happen if the Winnipeg Jets bring in a top six piece and when Kyle Connor is healthy and you have all these players who are playing as well as they are?
So I think we're in this really interesting place where you go to cap friendly, like I do every morning. No teams have space, that everyone is playing on LTIR except the Jets. The Jets are going to have like $4 million in cap space come deadline. Like, they have space to add not just some guy. They can add like a Buchnevich. They can add like somebody that has salary and term. And I think this is going to be a fun next couple of months for the Jets, because even if Colorado and Dallas catch us, like, we're in now. And I will just say, like, I'm not sure I want to be number one with the Edmonton Oilers remembering how to play hockey and coming up on that eight seed real quick. But we're in this position where we bank so many points against bad teams, like decent teams. We are so far out in front at this point. We should be dreaming up a list. So I expect the Flyers to be one of those teams that fades. So maybe we're talking about a Konechny. But I think I'm going to be looking for like which teams are going to just call it a day. I'm backing off on the Elias Lindholm thing. He has looked terrible this year. You got to like watch who they are and not just trade on their name from previous years. He has looked a little lost out there, but that's the type of player that I'm going to be looking for, is somebody that can play on that second line with Perfetti and KFC, because all of a sudden you have Iofalo is on your fourth line. Nemesikov is on your third line. Like, you have all these pieces where you're going to be like rolling so much depth. Like, we all know, like, Dominic Toninato, great. He's had a great like week here. He's not a guy that you want to see rolling out there necessarily in the playoffs unless somebody's hurt. Same goes for Axel Janssen-Valby. Love him. Been playing out of his mind, but he's not going to be your long-term solution if everyone's healthy. So,
well, and that's exactly it. The insurance pieces, right? Because we know, like, obviously the Minnesota Wild, the perfect example, like, injuries can just start happening, right? Like, and that's, and we, you need to be prepared for it. And the Jets have been lucky this year, not just lucky because a lot of it is of their own doing, but that they've had the right insurance pieces to come in. And even like, we've had, I think, 11 forwards that have played most of the Jets games this year, and I'm including Gabe Vilardi in that category, and Kyle Connor as well. And then your extra 12th guy is the Gustafson, the Kapari, the Fialbi, the Toninato, and who've all been, you know, excellent or whatever, which is great. So having a couple of those guys ready in case, you know, things happen, because we're still only halfway through the season, is extremely important. But I even see some people in the chat talking about, you know, Kapari and Gustafson, and literally how do you get them back in the lineup? But I don't want to digress.
I think you get them back in the lineup because the PK is still not right. I would say, like, that is your, like,
Kishore,
that is your thing.
Bring you up regularly when it comes to the penalty kill, because for those of you who don't know, Kishore and I know each other from back in the day. We used to be part of a podcast called the Jet Centric Podcast, and there was an episode we were recording once, I want to say maybe 3 years ago, where I was almost near tears the entire time we were recording the podcast, because we were doing mid-season play like grades for all the players, and every single player that played any part in the penalty kill whatsoever, Kishore would knock down an entire grade. Like, if this player was an A, it was a B, like not even a B plus. Like, it was like a B if they had any part of the penalty kill whatsoever. Even Connor Hellebuck, it was so funny. So Kishore, I will always think of you when it comes to the penalty kill. They only have
it's to their weakness. Like, I know everyone wants to talk about the power play, but I think the PK is the more concerning thing. Like, Anaheim was pushing them around on their couple power plays tonight. Like, we just can't have that. And like a Gus Bus on there, maybe a Kupari on there. Like, we need to figure that out. And I'm here for all the people that want to talk about like a legitimate like number two, number three defenseman, but those are expensive. We'll see.
And even,
but this is the fun part of the year.
Yeah, no, 100%. Even back to your Lindholm point, I think the point that you mentioned, and I swear no one's holding a gun to my head for saying this, but I usually be such a, like, you know, on ice metrics and results and things like that person. And I still am, like, through and through, like, that's the most important part of anything. But this year has also really made me realize that, like, the vibes with a capital V are extremely important, and bringing in a guy like that who, and I don't know the guy, so I'm not trying to judge him or anything like that, but you need someone who's going to come in and be a Nate Schmidt, you know, for your team and make sure you're keeping up. Cause part of the reason that this team is, you know, the way that they are, and part of the reason that a team like the Edmonton Oilers is the way that they were earlier to start the season, is entirely about the off ice relationships and things like that too. So it is really important to kind of keep that going and continue with the good vibes. Yeah. But I want
to
make sure.
It is one thing. It's one thing to go perfect on the PK against Anaheim and San Jose. It's another thing when you're going to have to do it against Vegas and Edmonton and Colorado 100%. And Dallas. Those are teams that don't mess around. And we're going to have to play one, two, how many of them are we going to have to play?
Hopefully, three in the West and one in the East.
Yeah. I think it's worth saying Connor Hellebuck is on one of those all-time heaters. I think he must have seen, there was an article going around about Demko maybe being the starter for the Americans. And I think he must have read that. And he was like, maybe not. And he was like, I am the greatest American goalie. And you can sit back down. He's on an all-time heater. Like a month ago, his like GSACs was like, I don't know. It was like in the single digits. He's like waved bye to everybody. And I just don't think you can count on him being like a 930 goalie the rest of the way, even though he is the greatest goalie in the world. Like, what if he comes back and he's just a pedestrian 917? Like, all of a sudden, like, you go from like continually expecting, you know, we only give up one or two goals to like two or three, things get tighter. So all this kind of stuff. That being said, how are we just not in full celebration mode? This is like the we're like going shop. I feel like I'm going shopping now. I'm going to be looking at cap friendly lists for the next month. Like, the vibes are off the charts.
All nice to have, not need to have pieces, right? Like, even everyone in the chat is saying all these people that like, I genuinely don't want to take anyone out of the lineup right now. And I've never, ever in my 12 years of the Winnipeg Jets being here ever said that before, right? And that's just so exciting and great. And we have a lot of people being active in the chat, so I'm going to open the floor up to any questions if anyone has anything that they, you know, want us to chat about to include in the discussion. So please, for those of you who are here, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I see we have a couple people who are new here that have said that this is their first time watching the stream. Thank you so much for being here. We're here after every single game talking Jets, which is amazing. We always have some fun guests. But while I give some people the time to write out some questions and things like that, who are your personal three stars of this game, Kishore, against the Anaheim Ducks tonight?
So you have to give it to Brassois. Again, like, I think he's my number one star. Why am I doing this in reverse? It's like I've never been a hockey fan. All right, let's do this right.
Just clear your brains. He never said anything. We don't know who the first star is yet. Go.
Number three, I got to give it to Nate Schmidt. I'm just so happy for him to get that goal. Number two, a little bit of a surprise, a little off the board. But I just love Morgan Barron's game right now. I think he is playing really, like, I think he's driving that fourth line. That fourth line is eating minutes, even though he didn't get on the score sheet. He obviously got one last night. I think he causes all sorts of havoc and trouble for teams. I know that's like a wild choice when we saw like Ehlers Barry one and stuff. But I just love how Barron is playing. And then number one's LB. Just again, like, gave up one goal. He's your number two goalie, and he's not letting, he's playing like 920. He's playing a 920 rate. Like, you can't argue with the results coming out.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry, my mic was a little acting up on me here. But that's exactly what you want, is your goalie to come in. And they had a couple of really big moments, especially at the end of the game. You know, I want to give some credit to the Anaheim Ducks for the pressure that they were putting on the Jets. There a couple times, obviously, over the course of the game, but especially at the 6-on-4 at the end there, when I believe there was a power play and a goalie pull simultaneously that led to the Jets kind of managing that a little bit. And I thought, you know, we had some big blocks, some good positioning from the guys. But ultimately, like, the Anaheim Ducks had him pretty hemmed in there. So I give, you know, my hat tip goes to Brassois on that one in particular, because he really helped them out at the end of the game. Two goal lead is tough, even right at the end, because, you know, you never know what can happen. You could turn into, you know, Czechia against Finland today, right? Like, anything can happen at the end of a hockey game. So he definitely pulled it off for them tonight. So I'm just going to throw into the chat here, take a little peek. A lot of people are you know, agreeing with you on the accolades for Morgan Barron. And I think, yeah, he's a player that deserves a lot of love.
I've also seen comments about the Bills being Canada's team, which is also like,
to be fair,
also I'm signed up.
Yeah, they kind of are, because like, not to me, because to me, Canada's team is the Minnesota Vikings, because everyone from Manitoba is a Vikings fan, but everyone from Toronto is a Bills fan, and we know that anything that Toronto does just becomes anything that Canada does. So I'll give it to you. They kind of are Canada's team, not my team.
Being from Buffalo, nothing, and being a hockey fan, nothing makes me sadder than being associated with Toronto fans. So I'm going to let that one slide.
You know what? Yeah. Okay. Then we're going to pretend that one. I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen, because I honestly wouldn't want that for you either. That's even right now. For those of you who are new, we have a good number of people here live in the chat. So I'm so happy that everyone's here watching and celebrating post game with us. I know it's late in Winnipeg. I'm in Minneapolis right now, for those of you who didn't catch my little spiel at the beginning, here to watch PWHL Minnesota tomorrow with the over 10,000 tickets sold. Did a little 7-hour road trip today, just kind of spontaneously with my family, so super fun. But
Liz has to pick up her signed Ryan Hartman jersey at the pro store, all this stuff.
Like, I was like, I need to pick a team that I want to cheer for PWHL, and I was like, maybe I'll pick Minnesota because they're close by, but then I started realizing that so many of these teams are affiliating themselves with their local NHL teams. And I'm like, well, so that throws PWHL Toronto out the window. That throws PWHL Minnesota out the window. Throws PWHL Montreal out the window. Like, I cannot be a fan of these teams, because that means...
I thought you were legally required just to cheer for whoever MPP is playing for. Isn't that the Canadian way?
No, I feel like you can get your, like, citizenship stripped if you don't do that or something like that, right? Is that's how that works? But actually,
yeah, that's why I'm like a Boston fan, because Hillary Knight's on there. I'm like, I guess I got to do this.
No, literally, and she's your equivalent. And my well, actually, I'm from rural Manitoba, and the goaltender who posted that shutout for PWHL New York against Toronto in the season league opener, if I may, is from a town that's right beside mine. They're the next closest school to me. We had a rivalry in high school. I think I will say she's from there, like, locally. I think she went to school in Winnipeg, because, you know, sometimes you got to do that if you want to go play the best level of, you know, hockey in the country, you know. So I'll give it to her. But shout out Elm Creek, Manitoba. Normally not, you know, I'm a proud Eli girl, but Elm Creek gets some love from Korean Trader. Lots of great stuff going on with PWHL, so it's been super fun. But I'm going to jump back in the chat here and take a quick
look. I just want to shout out to Jack about saying he was a season ticket holder during the Jim Kelly days. I actually have a Jim Kelly signed helmet in behind me. I was a big Bills fan back then. But I want to give you some, the vibes are immaculate because we're atop the league, but I want to give you even better vibes. Next three. Arizona, not a bad team, but, you know, Arizona, we can handle that. Yeah. Columbus. And then Chicago again.
All-star Boone Jenner to you, so watch it. Yeah, no.
One of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Like, I felt so bad. I'm like, they have to pick somebody.
The next little stretch is going to be well, we've been saying that for the next long stretch for the little bit, and that was including the games against San Jose and Anaheim. And, you know, it's been a test this last little bit. It's the inverse of the Miami Dolphins, if I may, where it's like when you see these poor teams, are you able to beat them? Because that's, you know, Winnipeg has shown that they can run with the best and they're beating the good teams, but the points that should be easy points for them haven't been easy points for them. So the last couple of games have been, you know, good testaments of that. I almost throw Minnesota into that category. They're a below 500 team right now. So, you know, getting the two wins against them back to back and then winning these California games, I think, is huge. And if they can keep this up and secure a couple points against teams that they should be able to beat in the next little bit. And I want to say you might have missed the Flyers in that list of teams too, because that's the fourth.
Flyers is right after Chicago.
So we have a not too terrible of a schedule coming up the pipe before they jump into the back-to-back against Toronto. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the next little bit goes. Hopefully they can secure a bit of a cushion and stay ahead of, you know, the Rangers, the Bruins, and all those good teams at the top and maintain that spot.
I'm not worried about the Rangers.
No.
I'm not worried about the Rangers and Bruins.
Just kidding.
Everything. I'm just looking at how the Avs are playing, how the Stars are playing, and then keeping out of the corner of my eye what the Oilers are doing,
because 100%, yeah, and the Kings. They can also be in the other periphery, kind of paying attention to them too.
Kings are very similar to the Jets in the sense they are so strong defensively. Like their system is working to a T, to the point where, like, people are like, did we snub Cam Talbot from the All-Star game? I'm like, maybe we.
Yeah.
but also, no doubt there are a number of teams in the West to be looking out for, and those games are coming. But from here to the All-Star break, those teams aren't on our schedule. So right. We just got to bank points. Miro Heiskanen went out week to week last night for the Stars. So everything is about banking points and just building that cushion, because all those teams, they're going to be going like 7-3 every 10 games, because that's how good they are. So now is the time. We got to keep banking points, and then the schedule gets nasty in the second half of the year.
100%. So yeah, hopefully we can close out this month with some good hockey and keep up the good vibes, you know. So Mentor's Trip, obviously, you know, some really great stuff there. A couple of goals from guys we love to see it from tonight, in particular Nate Schmidt and Cole Perfetti, and obviously, you know, Nikolai Ehlers. But hey, at this point, anyone can score, and I'd be like so happy for that guy. But you know, the Jets are rolling, the wagon keeps growing, and for those of you who are here, we have a lot of people in the chat, a couple of unfamiliar names to me. I'm so thankful that you guys are all here. If you're just here because you're a hockey fan and not a Jets fan, trust me, now's the time to become one. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. Kishore, super quick, just give us a little plug where people can follow and get your you know, amazingly insightful Jets commentary on Twitter.
Oh, I just, I'm not on the Twitter anymore. I'm like, sometimes go on Threads, but like I lurk now in like Dmitry Filipovich's Discord, which is like a blast. Really? I'm in like the Puck Soup Discord. That's like Those are like fun places. I'm going to be off wearing an American flag, celebrating our juniors' victory for the next day. So, but I'll be back on the Jets bandwagon here and welcoming all of our new brothers and sisters joining us along the way. Because guess what, folks? It's a wagon. And there's room for plenty more.
And 100%, that's the best way to end it. For those of you who are here, make sure you like the stream on your way out and hit subscribe. We're almost at 100,000 subscribers, so it'd be great to hit that milestone soon. I think we unlock a lot of fun features and stuff like that, too, when we hit that milestone. So make sure you hit that on the way out. And for those of you who are new here, we are here after every single Jets game. And there's also a game over stream kind of like this for every single game that's being played by a Canadian team. So we have shows for all seven markets. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but we have a great great crew over here at ASDBN that puts together some amazing shows. We did some World Junior coverage with Elite Prospects and a lot of good stuff like that. So make sure you're subscribing to us here and following SDPN Sports on Twitter. Follow me as well at Liz Hoods. That's LYSSHOUDE. And I will see you back here on Sunday after the game against the Arizona Coyotes. So have a good night, everyone. If you're listening live, thanks for joining us. If you're listening back later, thank you for being here as well. And we'll see you next time.